Inside Rehab, the surprising truth about addiction treatment and how to get help that works, by medical writer and New York Times bestselling author Ann Fletcher, gives readers an insider's view of drug and alcohol rehab. It focuses on real people whose stories illustrate the serious issues facing individuals in rehab and endemic in the rehab industry today. Some stories are disturbing, while others are inspiring as they provide an honest and critical look at the current state of the addiction treatment industry in the U.S., contrasting what goes on in rehab with what experts and scientific studies suggest should go on. It's a great pleasure to welcome Ann Fletcher to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Hi, it's good to be with you.
Again, the name of the book is Inside Rehab, The Surprising Truth About Addiction Treatment and How to Get Help That Works. What do you think it is, the surprising aspect for many people of what they don't understand about the process?
Oh, boy, where do I start? there are lots of things. You know, I think there's so many misconceptions, and a lot of it is portrayed by the media, and that's why I wanted to do this. I mean, I knew from writing an earlier book, Sober for Good, that came out in 2001, that I had written about alcohol recovery, that there were problems with the industry. And then about 5 years ago, when there was really celebrities going in and out of rehab, really, really became a hot-button issue, I knew that the public wasn't informed. Some experts had told me there were many problems with the industry, and I thought somebody needs to go inside and really see what's going on, interview people who have been there. And you know, I'll start with the first surprise, is that there are 22 million people with a serious drug or alcohol problem in this country, and only 1 out of 10 goes for help. So I wanted to understand why that is and to try to, you know, one of the goals of the book is to try to reach out and help more people find solutions. And what I found is that a lot of what goes on is one size fits all. And if we offer more solutions, the goal is to help more people. That was one of the main reasons for writing the book.
You talk about the media, and I find this fascinating because I'm just going to use this as an example. But you have somebody like Billy Joe Armstrong, who's the lead singer of Green Day, goes on, is at a performance, goes crazy on stage, starts breaking guitars, starts cursing out people, and it's on the internet, and the guy's nuts. 2 days later, they cancel the tour, and they say that he's going to rehab. But there is an assumption then that the tour will pick up, that, you know, 2 months later, all better. And then at some point they said, well, no, he's not all better, and he's going to keep on, you know, doing this for a while, and then, you know, we'll get back to you. What is that? What do you think our perceptions are, and not so much in that celebrity world, but in the real world, that is, like, you go in, there is a prescribed period of time, and then you get better and you leave?
I think that is what people think, and it's sadly sad for the person with the addiction that family members think, oh boy, we can get rid of them for a while, or if they don't think we can, because lots of times it's hard to have somebody in your life with an addiction, or we can get this person help, and you send them away for 28 days or whatever it is, and they get fixed. And, you know, there's an increasing acceptance that addiction, especially a serious addiction, can be a chronic problem for a lot of people. And actually, the case that you just presented is actually quite realistic, that it doesn't go away overnight. It's often something that goes in and out of remission. And we need to accept this, not judge people when it happens, have them build support systems so that they're, and I talk about this in the last chapter of the book, and the last two chapters of the book, how people can have ongoing support, not be ashamed if they have a slip or a relapse, not make them start counting all over again. Oh, you lost your sobriety, you know, which commonly goes on at AA meetings. Hey, if you have 4 years of sobriety and you had a slip, you still have 4 years of sobriety and you had a slip. And then you pick up again where you left off. We really need to change a lot of our thinking around this. But it's a chronic problem. We now know, and I learned even more since I wrote Sober for Good in writing the new book, Inside Rehab, about the brain changes that happen when somebody has a serious addiction that keep drawing that person back to drugs. So there really is a growing view that a short-term fix, as Dr. Mark Willenbring, a famous addiction psychiatrist who ran a division of the NIH that had to do with treatment, said, there's no evidence that withdrawing people from reality, shipping them away to residential treatment for a short burst of treatment and then sending them out into the real world is effective. We need to see this as something that people need some kind of ongoing support, long-term treatment.
When one of the things that you address in the book that I found to be really interesting is that of what the conditions are where people do the best in rehab, and obviously there's a lot there, but you do write about this in the book. Going into a treatment center, what is setting us up for success? What ingredients should be there to set that patient up for success?
Well, first of all, do research before you go in. I mean, Dr. Tom McClellan, another famous expert in the field who studies what works and what doesn't for addiction treatment, said people put more thought into buying a vacuum cleaner than they do into going to rehab. And I think partly that happens because the decision is often made in panic mode. You know, your young adult son totals your car, or it's his third DWI, or, you know, whatever it is. You know, you find somebody with, you know, taking an overdose of prescription painkillers. You want to get them in fast.
Yeah.
And you don't make the decision. You start going to websites, and they all say the same thing. And, you know, after a while. And, you know, or you call your neighbor, or you call your doctor, who, you know, physicians aren't educated about addiction treatment for the most part. People don't. So that's what I try to do, is offer the questions. Here are the things that you look for to get credentials, people with good qualifications to treat addiction, to really, you know, don't jump into it. I know, yes, that there is evidence that you want to get that person in quickly, but not necessarily overnight, because you want that to be a quality treatment experience. So first think, ask the right questions, and don't just jump into it.
And two things about what you just said. One is that addiction is such a difficult medical issue. And as you point out in this book, there are so many centers that are out there that don't have the staff and the professionals that are trained in specifically that of treating addiction.
Well, yes. Addiction rehabs tend to have people who have some training in treating addiction, but they probably don't have, many of them don't have the qualifications that you think they have. I can't believe how many people I interviewed. Because I talked with, in addition to visiting the 15 rehabs of all different shapes and sizes across the country, I interviewed more than 100 people who had recent contact with the treatment system, and many experts too, obviously. And I would ask people, what were the qualifications of your main counselor, your primary counselor in treatment? Well, I assume the person had a bachelor's degree or a master's degree. And then I would go to the state where the person had the treatment. And lo and behold, the state didn't even require a bachelor's degree for an addiction, a certified addiction counselor. And a big report from a think tank called Casa Columbia came out while I was writing the book that showed 30 states in this country do not even require a bachelor's degree as the minimum requirement to become a certified alcohol, drug, or addiction counselor. And that's who provides the lion's share of treatment in addiction programs, not a doctoral level psychologist or psychiatrist. Many places don't even have those people on staff. At best, even at some very expensive rehabs, if you have in addition to your addiction, you have a psychological problem, you might see a psychologist for an hour a week. But, you know, that really floored me when I went and saw how, and also there's very, very little individual counseling that goes on at most of these places. Most of it is in group. A lot of people are doing the same thing. One woman who went to a very high-end, expensive rehab said, gee, I looked around at night and my roommates and I were all doing the same homework. Well, you know, this is a highly individual problem, and, you know, you'd think that everybody would be given individualized work. And a lot of these places, if you look at the websites, we pride ourselves on providing individualized treatment plans for every client. Well, you know, she was floored that we were all doing the same homework.
And that gets back to your question about research. I mean, then There is what they say on the online, or what they say, and I guess at some point you have to take them at their word. But this also does get very much into the issue of expense, of what you're willing to do to tackle the problem. And one of the many points that you make in the book is that, you know, there isn't any real scale that says because you pay 10 times what somebody else pays that you're going to have a better experience.
That's right. There's no correlation between what you pay and the quality of treatment. Sometimes a more expensive treatment is better, but actually, you know, that's not a guarantee at all. I found some excellent community-based treatment programs that treat low-income people. Sometimes they have better quality care than some of these fancy programs because they are funded by state and federal grants. And those state and federal grants, especially the federal grants, have high standards. They require you to have science-based treatment. Mm. They require you to have counselors and therapists with master's degrees. They require you to treat co-occurring psychiatric problems. So I found some of those programs were providing very comprehensive care, not just addressing the addiction. It's not a guarantee if you spend more money that you're necessarily getting the best treatment. But I do, you know, I do try to offer people solutions. It's not just hopeless. The other thing is I share tons of stories of people who have been through this, who offer wonderful advice. I mean, of course, there's lots of advice from experts, lots of advice from me based on all of my interviews. But there's one wonderful story in the book of a woman who she used to work in customer service. She had a terrible, serious alcohol problem and was in trouble with the law for drunk driving accidents. But she was very bright, and she developed her own consumer report system for rehab shopping. She called 12 different programs and used like a screening checklist. And I share that in her story in the book. And she had terrific questions to ask programs. She asked, can I come visit your program? Can I meet with the counselors? Now, sometimes you don't have that luxury of time, you know, if somebody's in, she wasn't in that much of a crisis, but she had somewhat of a time crunch because she was in trouble with law. But, you know, she asked, can I visit? Can I, what are your visiting policies? Can my little boy come visit me? There are tons of practical advice from people. Ask questions like, if I go for a week and I don't like it, can I get my money back? Or can I get the money back that I haven't used? I had people, you know, who sent their daughter for a week and they weren't able to provide adequate medical care for the abscesses from her needle injections. And they kicked her out, but they didn't give the money back for the 3 weeks of treatment that she wasn't there. Ask questions up front. Ask what percentage of the time will be individual counseling versus group counseling. Ask about the qualifications of the people, the degrees, the training of the people who you will be spending most of your time with in counseling at the rehab. All kinds of practical advice, and then suggestions for finding a quality program.
It is a fascinating book. It's entitled Inside Rehab, The Surprising Truth About Addiction Treatment and About How to Get Help That Works. It's published by Viking. Anne Fletcher, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
I wish you all the luck in the world. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.